Pesach.
Welcome to Brutal Brunch with your hosts Matt Moore and Matt Mastromaro.
What do any of you know about being brutal?
Featuring Massachusetts metal and punk.
Those lyrics about hell, demons, and doom. What if I told you it's all real?
WMFO Medford.
What the prime time, bitch!
Morning siren.
Ooh.
Good morning. It is Brutal Brunch here on WMFO Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org.
The ghetto bird.
Oh, yeah. That was brand new Patient Zero featuring old friend of the show, Shane Lamb, which I tell the story all the time. But since I was watching the video for this song, I'm like, is that Shane Lamb on drums? And it was, and he was one of the four when the studio didn't work. I was interviewing a band
in the little baby studio.
In Baby Studio C, and we had me and four band members just huddle around a microphone.
Very romantic.
It was great. But yeah, that was Comatose off a little EP / single, whatever you want to call it, that recently came out in October by Patient Zero. And that was brand new, and we are going to go back and continue our year in review, our look back at the decade that was.
Aren't we?
This day we're covering 2014, 2015. But Matt, I know you're all fired up after a night of
wrestling. So much good. I accidentally on purpose watched wrestling like for 10 hours last night with our friend of the show and occasional co-host Norbit, John Corbett.
Part of the Brutal Brunch Expanded Universe.
The Extended Universe. We watched Bad Wrestling was the theme. You were supposed to bring a match that was bad, and of course I made people watch the Steel Cage of Death, whatever match from Halloween Havoc 91, where Abdullah the Butcher was electrocuted in an electric chair. Then we watched most of TNA's Lockdown, Lethal Lockdown 2007? Was that what the year was?
It was Lockdown 07.
Lockdown 07 with the another electrified cage match, and of course the blindfold match with America's Most Wanted. And then we watched all of AEW Full Gear. Not a great name for a pay-per-view, but a really fun pay-per-view. Because even though it went to like midnight 30, I was like, damn, I'm tired, but I'm still like enjoying myself.
Yeah, because I have fallen asleep during some of those shows. I've left the Rumble early and things like that, but this one stuck around.
I've been watching close Patriots games on like a Sunday at 8 and just falling asleep. Then I'm like legitimately interested in the outcome, and I'm like, ugh, too much TV. But yeah, great show. Really fun.
Yes.
Like all around. No complaints. You know, some like weird, you know, whatever you want to call it, botches. But like, whatever, it's wrestling. It's not a ballet. But I enjoyed everything. The storylines were interesting. I think the thing with Awesome Kong scalping ladies or whatever the hell is going on, that's incredible. I'm into that. With Brandi Rhodes is like some sort of like voodoo
master. It's funny because it's like voodoo magic versus the black magic of Bea Priestley.
So, yeah, but it didn't work because she got that knife out, that like assassin knife that like slit throats.
There was a lot of dangerous weapons last night.
Yeah. The death match at the end was like outrageous with the screwdriver. I was waiting for someone to get the barbecue sticks and stick them into their head, but I feel like that's too much for normal TV, you know?
I like how they got away with the overrun too because it was an unsanctioned match. So technically the pay-per-view ended at 11.
Yeah, though, pay-per-view right back as a child, the last time I paid for pay-per-view in 1998, you were stuck to a pure deadline, like you couldn't run over, right? You had to do a deal with the pay-per-view provider, like literally like Tony Schiavone famously.
I was gonna say
the tape machines are running. We're desperately out of time, and then it's off. Like
there was an infamous event, right, where it ended early before like the pay-per-view cut out because
event,
yeah,
and then they showed the main event on Nitro. I don't know, but I feel like it was a different world where like it was just like analog broadcast, and you couldn't get so loose with like what you were. You know, the digital stuff, I assume, is just run by a computer and not literally, like, folks putting tapes in and taking tapes out. But good show. Great show. Good job. Cody Rhodes. Very handsome. You guys should check him out.
The dashing Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
Still not so dashing after the sweet bump he took on the ramp.
Ruined his beautiful face.
He's going to have to bring the mask back.
Yeah.
All right. So, I would say that no more. We're done with wrestling talk for the morning. But
absolutely not.
I don't think I can make that guarantee. I'm trying to think of what I want to play next here. I told you that we are going to do a mostly local show. However, something happened. Like I said, we're going to review 2014. And something very important happened in 2014 that has really, I would say, shaped some of our tastes, led to a lot of discussions with people's attitudes. Not going to give this away. People's attitudes in the metal scene, what they think about this band. This band actually recently underwent its first evolution because a member had to drop off and was replaced. But we're going to hope that this works so that we can, it was the dawning of this band in 2014.
I know what it is.
Band out of Japan.
And I definitely know what it is.
And I would say, yeah, they need no introduction. So let's go.
Chocolate. How do you dispose of cigarettes?
Well, there's part of plants.
Really? Fertilizer and dried plant roots can catch fire.
Trash cans okay?
Please. All that trash can easily catch fire.
So off my porch is a bad idea.
Cigarettes tossed into mulch, leaves, and grass start many fires. Fire can grow up the side of a building before anyone notices.
Fine. Bucket of sand?
That's perfect. Put it out. All the way. Every time. To learn more, go to mass.gov/DFS.
Alive again.
And that was a nice Titan couplet, or a couplet of Titan, local Titans.
Incredible. Mid-decade. Starting out with Baby Metal, of course.
Of course, we have Baby
America's
Metal.
America's favorite band.
Gimme Chocolate. And if as far as I'm concerned, if you're a black metaler who hates Baby Metal, you're canceled. Like, such as Nurgle and who wasn't our boy? Was Fenriz?
Fenriz. No, I think Fenriz came around because he's like a normal guy now. It's Fenriz. How's your Friday?
But they believe Dimmu Borgir is pro Baby Metal. Rob Zombie is pro Baby Metal.
All the good people. You know who else is pro Baby Metal? Abath. One of the funniest pictures ever was, like, remember it was like them. It was the whole band and the singers from Baby Metal, and just being like, just so weird, like just like all these like enormous 50-year-old men in corpse paint, these like two little kids.
Yep.
Incredible. I love it.
And then we had the title track off of Revocation's 2014 album Deathless, and that was To the Ground by Unearth. That was off of Watchers of Rule.
Very good.
And now we've come to this.
Welcome to This Week in Metal History.
What a thick metal history we have this week. Put in your ears. First, something that came out that made me feel ancient is that Mario Kart Double Dash... The best Mario Kart, I agree. Came out 13 years ago last week.
Do you know, to this day, I'm undefeated on Daisy Cruiser.
Did you know, to this day, I stink at Mario Kart Double Dash? Like, we used to play a lot of Halo back in the day. Also, like, a lot of Halo 1.
That was the first floor drug of choice.
Yeah. So then we'd play you guys the second floor in Halo. And then you guys retired from Halo and played Double Dash, so our part of the extended universe, Kevin Werner, bought Double Dash and just practiced day and night until he was unbeatable at Double Dash.
There's no Super Smash Brothers.
Oh my god, Smash Brothers. The, Terry Bogard in Smash. The new Mario Karts, I don't know what it is. Like, it's just too...
It's too much.
Too much stuff going on, almost, you know? Like, too much... razzmatazz in the sides, like, because even with like two people on your cart, it just feels cleaner. I don't know how to describe it. Like, just like, yeah, you're throwing crap at each other, but like the new games are just too much, like too much in the side. Mm-hmm. You know, like flashy lights. Maybe I'm just old also. All right, let's get into the stuff here. September 4th, 2002, Manila Road, American heavy metal band from Wichita, Kansas, founded by Mark the Shark Shelton and Scott Scooter Park. You know, it's like the way you think, like a band that was started in the 70s would sound, that's continued from Kansas. So, like, you've got blues, kind of fantasy blues. This is not off that album, but I love this song so much because it's about magic. Do we have a concert calendar this week so I can play this in the background? This is a great song.
not even released this week in history, but...
You know what's great? Yeah, this is not off that album. But
Freeform week in history.
Yeah, look, I'm the boss. All right. November 4th, 2006. Hammerfall.
Built to last.
Yes. And it's true, they are built to last. I believe I saw them... back on tour, I think.
Oh, yeah, in the hot tub.
Just in the hot tub. Doing flips off boats, jogging. Sometimes he'll post himself just jogging on a treadmill for like an hour. Just like the king of cardio, I guess. Joachim.
There it is.
Oh, he's so good. So, like,
are they singing about Germany?
What are they singing about here?
That happened this week in history. He said long before these walls came down, he just sang.
Oh, could be. Probably not. They're singing about magic stuff. Like, they're singing about, like, Hector, the guy, the hammer knight or whatever they have on the front of the thing.
Yes.
If you don't want to go to King Richard's Fair after listening to Hammerfall, like, you're dead inside. Here's like a band that I kind of found doing this list this week. Grand Magus. Ever heard of them? I guess you'd say Magus. M-A-G-U-S.
Sounds Magus. Somewhat familiar.
They're fairly new.
Sounds like by the name of the band would be right up your alley and not up mine.
So, we're actually wrong? Up neither of our alleys when I play this because it's more like rock and roll-y. So Grand Magus, they say, are a three-piece heavy metal band from Stockholm.
Mm.
So Motorhead, Black Sabbath, Priest. So, you know what I'm saying? I was like, like the cover of this album is like it's a monk with a big white beard and an amulet and a brown thing. And then they do like this to me, Grand Magus. Is this what you do to me?
That's quite the bait and switch.
No good. No, I'm not saying it's no good. Not for me. You know what? Instead of saying no good, 2020 is going to be the year of positivity for me.
Oh, okay.
Not for me. Folks, I don't like it. Dark Angel, we have arrived, American thrash metal band from Downey, California. So I'll just play this for 2 seconds. Formed in 1981, their over-the-top style, extremely fast, lengthy songs, parts of tempo changes, lyrics, extended instrumental parts, gave them the nickname the L.A. Caffeine Machine, which is very funny and very 80s, I guess. So that's what they sound like, of course. There was like a... In the 80s, if you were in California and wanted to make a thrash metal band, you would go to the library and just get a book, and you sound like all the other bands in that area. I don't know what it is. Just like
it's like if you were in death metal, you go and get the medical textbook.
Well, medical dictionary. You go get the medical dictionary and you look up what's the worst organ. It's like my grand unified theory of pop punk, which is
okay.
No matter where you're from, all right, I'm gonna do this for you. Hold. So, no matter where you're from, what like countries don't count. Obviously, we're talking about, you know, parts of the United States don't count. You sound like you're from Southern California and you're going to sing out of your nose. So, I don't know what it is.
Southern California or like Fort Lauderdale? Not
Southern California.
Okay.
All right. This is a Japanese pop punk band called Stay at Home.
Gainesville is what I meant to say.
I've never even heard the song, and I guarantee it's going to sound like this? Stay at Home from Japan. And I guarantee it'll sound. The guy's going to start singing. He's going to go. Here, I'll skip forward. Why? Sorry, I don't know what the deal is, but like all the pop punk people got together and they're like, we have to sing like this. There's like a big meeting every year that we're not invited to, and they go, they like have people come up, they like sing your song, and the guy's like, I'm singing a song. I'm like, no, it's like this. You gotta sing like this. I love my friends, my hometown.
Defend pop punk is what I have to say.
I don't know. I like it. I'm just saying. Pop punk, much like another band on this list, a band, when you want it, nothing else will do. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, when you're in the mood for this type of music, nothing else will do. You know what else we got from the mid-early 90s? Excuse me? 11-6, 90, the greatest band of all time, Creator, released the album Terror Zone. Or excuse me, Coma of Souls. This is Terror Zone off Coma of Souls.
We should do, what we could do is we could release, like, a create your own metal history, and I'll just be like multiple choice, like choose your band, and be like Creator, Hammerfall,
Creator,
Halloween.
Hammerfall, Halloween, and you just kind of mishmash it in there, and that's the thing. The fun thing about this album is no profanity at all, but the lyrics are so grim, it's still got a parental advisory. Because they're the greatest band.
It's like a Danzig thing where it's like, mother, like, coming for you.
Too much Satan. Ooh. Are you scared of what?
Yes.
No profanity. That's how good they are. No profanity, parental advisory one. November 6, 2001. Speaking of metal history make-em-ups, Gwar released the album Violence Has Arrived. It was originally supposed to come out on September 11th, but the album was like, no, please. Violence Has Arrived reattains the brutal focus of the band's earlier albums. Is more thrashy. It's similar to Scumdogs of the Universe. They kind of like still have the overarching plot of like space alien invasion coming from somewhere. The song we're going to play, Bile Driver, which I'll just start. Bile Driver.
Fitting with the wrestling.
Get it? Is about a fluid-spewing cannon, which can be seen in the Immortal Corruptor video, and they bring on tour. Still, it's the thing that just looks like, I don't know, a gross thing. It looks like a human cannon, and they squirt the audience with water. Much like a Gallagher show, you will get wet.
Bring your poncho.
Lordy is apparently back.
Yeah.
Speaking of
Lordy is back. It's a great song. At the lyrics breakdown at the end where he says, I want to kill everyone. That's basically like the last 1 minute of the song. Very good. 11/7/87, Venom. Speaking of, again, makeup ups. Release the album Calm Before the Storm. It's excellent. Here's just like a random clip.
If there were no Venom, there'd be no black metal.
That is correct. What's funny about Venom, if you like look them up, they all had like zany names, kind of like the black metal guys, like, oh, my name is like Corpse Death or whatever, but when you talk to them, they just like, they're more like, oh no, what's his problem? What's my problem here? What's happening? The guy who was like always on the Muppets, you know?
Alice Cooper?
Alice Cooper. You know, it's more Alice Cooper than like, they're like, oh no, we're normal people. We're just going to play golf and hang out and stuff. Speaking of scary people who take it seriously, and we'll close it out with this. November 7th, 2000, as far as I'm concerned, probably one of the best death metal albums of all times, Immolation, Close to a World Below. This is Close to a World Below off the title track. It's like,
I'm already nervous.
I don't know what it is. Like, yeah, frightening, right? Is it like way I can describe Immolation? Frightening.
Although speaking of normal guys, it's kind of funny because when we saw them play for Mayhem, they were selling their own merch and taking photos. And
yeah, I was surprised they were selling their own merch. Yeah. Like, they're bigger than, maybe they like to do it. I don't know. Because I was like, wait a damn minute. I know you. I'll let the lyrics kick in. I feel like the lead singer in, ain't supposed to be kind of a mishmash of folks like Corpse Grinder and stuff, but the main character in Death Clock, not Death, but Metalocalypse. Yep. I feel like it's based on him, this guy, a little bit. Like, he really
the
looks
voice
like
is
him.
Like, yeah. Love it. I mean, that is, yeah. And to distract Mayhem a little bit further, did you see Necro Butcher's latest headlines? Where he revealed in a recent interview that he was planning to kill Euronymous.
Whoa, we're all gonna kill Euronymous.
Actually he had weapons and things, he was all set to do it. And then he actually got nervous when Varg killed him because he thought he would be suspected. And he freaked out because he had all these weapons that he was gonna kill Euronymous with. So then he was happy when Varg went to jail because then he was off the hook. According to Necro Butcher.
What's wrong with these people?
Up until this point was, granted, it's relatively speaking because Mayhem, Necro Butcher was the normal one.
Yeah.
Look, but I'm pretty sure it was also just to get headlines for their new album.
Honestly, because I have wrestling on the brain, I was like, the wrestler? Yes, go on. Oh, he wanted to kill Necro Butcher, the guy from like South Carolina? Okay. Matt, that's going to do it for this week in metal history. Thank you for listening. Thank you for coming into my mind palace of creator. Hammerfall.
Always a fun time. Always a pleasure.
Other things I like.
Do you have a black metal song of the week?
I have two. I have a long one. No, I don't have two. I have one.
Okay.
As Matt has said, we are going through the best of the tens, I guess you'd call it.
The aughts. Or the, not the aughts. I'm the, sorry. The teens.
The teens. So from 2014. Speaking of when I said pop punk and my unified theory of pop punk and when you want to listen to it, there's just nothing else will do. Here's a band that you're like, you know what I want to listen to? And that's Anal Noth Rock.
Yes.
And if you want to listen to Anal Noth Rock, nothing else will do. This is 2014's, August 2014's Anal Noth Rock, their album Desideratum, which is impronounceable. and this is the track The One Thing Needed. Anal Noth Rock, my favorite industrial black metal good boys from England. Black metal song of the week. We'll be right back.
as you said, Matt, potentially at one point the greatest band in the entire world.
Honestly, like seeing them, what was it, 2016, 2015?
What year RPM? Was that? I'm not sure what year, but yeah, one of the RPM fests.
Like the sun setting, I'm sitting, I had like a big rental pickup truck. I just got into a car accident. And sun's going down, like purpley light. Oxen comes on stage, no shoes.
It's like, no shoes. Just
like, whoa.
Weed smoke everywhere.
Yeah, weed everywhere. I'm like, this is the greatest band I've ever seen in my life.
So that was Oxen. It was Tomb of the Ocean off of 2015's The Vanishing. For that, we had Inayona with Leader, Force Rise of Sun, which was a semi-big deal when it came out.
Sure.
I owned that record on vinyl. But they haven't really done much since then, as far as I know.
I finally have space in my apartment for a record player. So I'll just get all the Ultra Mantis Black albums.
And we kicked off that set with Anal Nathrak, The One Thing Needful, off of Desideratum, something like that.
Sounds right. It's not all a right. word. You're not going to worry about that.
And now, as we do, we've been revisiting horror movies throughout the decade. In 2014, real quick, so of course, I think The Babadook is going to be the big one from that year. Girl Walks Home Alone. Some of these dates, I can't verify that they were actually the release date, because like, it follows as technically 2014, but everybody saw it in 2015 is when it got the mass release, so
okay.
I don't know. Girl Walks Home Alone at Night.
I've never seen The Babadook.
Good movie. Babadook is good.
It did spawn my favorite, I think one of my favorite tweets of all time, which was like a lady dressed as the Babadook, and she's like, I thought the Halloween party was a get-dressed-up party and not an adults drinking wine party. So she's just dressed up like the Babadook, and everyone's just like normally dressed around her. She has like weird white face paint and like a top hat on.
That's tremendous.
Very funny. The Babadook.
Excuse me. The Annabelle, the original. As Above, So Below, which I think is a criminally underrated movie.
Why?
That's then the French catacombs. Everybody pans it. I'm like, no, it's actually good.
What happens in it?
So this it's like the extreme tourism, and they're gonna go check out the French catacombs, and they get stuck and start seeing like specters of the skeletons in their closet, not little skeletons,
Okay.
And then they wind up in like a weird time warp, and they have to get out. And
that sounds right. I think that rings a bell. I may have seen it and have forgotten about it.
Starry Eyes, which I still haven't seen.
Starry Eyes is good.
Dead Snow, Red versus Dead, and we were talking offline that how the original original Dead Snow, not all that enjoyable.
Dead Snow, yeah.
I remember it got so talked up because everybody was like, Nazis, zombies,
whole, like,
it's going to be great. It's like,
that whole, the commercialization of zombies.
Yeah, and it was like, it kind of tried to ride the hype too much, and it was like, nah, it's just isn't that good. But Red versus Dead was tremendous. One of the few sequels where like bigger is actually better. Where the Soviet zombies show up.
I would love to see a war between Soviet zombies and Nazi zombies. That's
it's pretty great.
But yeah, like that was that whole time period where like epic bacon zombies. Like, well, like the CDC was putting out like funny jokes like, what's your zombie survival plan? And I'm like, why didn't you have enough medicine when all the people died in New Orleans?
Right.
You're not here to do jokes.
We don't do jokes. The Purge Anarchy, which is very good.
Good one? Which one is that?
That's the second one.
Okay, I've seen that then. With the guy like who's like a...
That was when they first took it out. That was when, Leo, the cop, he's seeking vengeance.
Right.
Then runs into a family where he's not supposed to get involved, but he winds up protecting these two people from Mr. USA, whatever. And
I think his name was Big Daddy.
Big Daddy, that was his name. Yep.
Big Daddy, which is very funny.
And then Paranormal Activity, The Marked Ones, another criminally underrated movie, because Paranormal Activity 4 was so bad, and then everybody else was like, The Marked Ones is stupid, and I was like, no, it's actually good, because they got away from the family.
4 was the one with, like, the Xbox.
Yep.
Okay.
Which you love. I know that.
I do love the Xbox scene.
But The Marked Ones, they do have, like, the time warp where he sees the girl from the first one, but it's great when they I think we already talked about this 2 weeks ago, but when
we did somehow.
the kid who dies in the beginning, his brother's like in a gang, and they show up and start shooting witches with shotguns at the end. It's great.
All right, I might watch that.
Mm-hmm.
I love gang versus witches violence.
All right, so let's move on to the original, the first Ouija, very forgettable, but the prequel is quite good. Stars the same girl from Annabelle Creation. She has a thing for these prequels. And then 2015 was the first year that I started creating my own list, as you do, as a cool person does. So you wanted to hear my top five from 2015.
I do.
First of all, let's start at number...
And why?
2015 was when Unfriended came out, and everybody blasted it because like, oh, it was stupid. It was a good movie.
Yeah, that is a fun movie.
Unfriended is a fun movie.
It's not good, but it's fun.
Yeah, exactly. Some Kind of Hate, which can be quite triggering, but is very good, in my opinion.
That is a good movie.
So what else? Oh, Wormwood, Road of the Dead, which I posted. I finally bought it. One day, posted a photo of it on Instagram, and the actress in the movie liked the Instagram post. I was quite excited. Wormwood Road of the Dead is a is it? I can't remember if it was New Zealand or Australia, but it's really a. Anyway, there's zombie telekinesis. It's fantastic.
Of course there is. Yeah, why wouldn't there be?
Digging Up the Marrow came out in 2015, which is Adam Green.
I love that movie
with Ray Wise. The Visit was M. Night Shyamalan's big comeback, and then top five, number five, The Final Girls.
Okay.
Final Girls, not Final Girl.
Okay. You have the one to explain in the cabin. The difference.
The Final Girls is the one with not Nina Dobrev family. And the guy from I'm blanking on all their names now. The girl from American Horror Story.
But where she's trained to do
No, that's Final Girl.
That's Final Girl.
The Final Girls is the parody where they're like sucked into the movie, like the Jason movie.
Okay.
And they're trying to escape.
I've not seen
it. You have not seen it?
No.
I did not know that. It's hilarious. Spring, which is like an indie horror movie love story thing. It's great. It's great. What We Do in the Shadows, number three.
Excellent. I watched that whole
I haven't seen the
Hulu
show.
Series. So funny.
Okay, is it?
Like, so funny, yeah.
Number two, It Follows.
Sure.
Which I went and saw by myself in a theater one day because nobody else wanted to see it. And number one, fitting in perfectly with the theme of the show, Deathgasm.
Oh, yeah. There, yeah. Perfect. Yeah, yes, that is the greatest movie of that year. You're correct. That's a movie that you can show to anyone, and I think they enjoy it.
My niece did not enjoy it, and I don't understand why.
Did she not... What? No, why?
I think
so stupid.
See, though, I think that Deathgasm, though, you kind of have to be a metal fan to begin with, whereas like a movie like Heavy Trip is you don't have to be a metal fan to like think it's hilarious.
But the metal stuff they're doing is silly, you know. It's not like they're like,
it is silly.
You need to have a deep reverence for this stuff, because like it's just like, especially when they're doing the thing where they're doing like the album cover in the woods and they're like running around playing the instruments not plugged in. It's just so stupid.
They have the sword.
Yeah, the sword. I guess if you knew the reference, it's a little bit funnier, but...
Yeah. Like if you've seen the Immortal videos.
You've seen the Immortal video where the guy pops out of a little tree
with his wizard hat.
With a wizard hat on.
So anyway.
That's pretty
good.
That
was that.
I'm not mad at that list. But yeah, Final Girl, right, was like, she was trained in a Buffy-style way to kill killers, basically, or something. And that was... Who was the star of
it? So it did come out in 2015, Final Girl.
Oh, okay. So that's even more confusing.
What's her face? Abigail Breslin.
Yes.
And the dude from... I don't know. He was only 24 or something. People knew whatever actor that was.
I only watch Rainbow Six YouTube videos now. I don't know actors' names. If it's not a how to cooking video or home repair or Rainbow Six, I don't watch TV. I guess the Patriots. But yeah, that movie was okay. I remember I didn't love it. It was
exactly.
like
it was very it had some aesthetic shots.
Yeah, like the stuff in the woods, like the light coming through the trees, and she was like very angelic kind of at the end, and like everybody got what they deserved. You know, it was like a very like the classic horror thing of like there's going to be justice and it's going to be grim. This was fun, but it wasn't that. The one you're talking about sounds much better.
It's a straight up horror comedy.
I would like to see
there's
that.
A bunch of you'll recognize everybody in that movie.
Okay. And Digging in the Marrow.
The guy from Workaholics that got overexposed, isn't it?
Which one?
The one that's on all the commercials now.
Oh, he's in the Righteous Gemstones. Have you seen that?
I have not.
Pretty good. The Marrow. That's a great movie.
That is a great movie.
I feel like
I saw that it was presented by Adam Green and the artist.
That's a great.
Anyway, that brings us to the end of that show.
Not bad.
So we're all halfway through the decade. We'll
pretty
be back
good.
In 2 weeks to keep this going. I'm sure everybody will be thrilled. I'll Bristle No Bite may or may not be next. And stay tuned now. We got a new show before us.
The name of the show is.
Yeah. And so we'll be back in 2 weeks. You've been listening to WMFO Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. This has been Brutal Brunch. We're going to end with a unifying song here, because this is a record that I bought. We went to our first ever Shikara show.
Ooh.
And Ultramantis Black is like, I have this record for sale. And I was like, yes, please. I don't even have a record player, but I want this. And so yes, he came out with an album. The front is him and his like vegan liberation army confronting a hunter.
Killing a farmer. Oh, no, armor.
And this is called West Siberian Plain. It's off of Ultramantis Black's self-titled album. Enjoy.
I guessed it by saying Ultramantis Black.